Hi, this is Bob Decker, a volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, with this week's Listener Beware. Today I'll be reading articles from Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. It seems like there's an app for our phones for anything we need to do lately. Deleting apps that are no longer needed provides more space for future use and helps to clear the screen. This article from Reader's Digest describes a few steps to take to completely uninstall an app to avoid future vulnerabilities. From Reader's Digest, deleting an app, do these three things first, or risk getting hacked. By Brooke Nelson Alexander and reviewed by Chuck Brooks. Updated on September 6, 2024. Deleting apps taking up precious space on your phone is always a good idea, especially for the ones that could be spying on you. But for some apps, you'll need to do more than simply hit the delete button. While you may think you've dumped it, deleting an app doesn't mean it's uninstalled, and its remnants could still be working in the background, leaving your device vulnerable or causing other issues. The biggest misconception is that once an app's deleted, the relationship with the app and the company that owns it is severed, says Gene Vixemar, Associate Director of Security Risk Management at Verizon. That could not be further from the truth. Those terms and conditions you casually checked off matter. In most cases, you've given them unfettered permission to use your data in whatever ways they see fit, within the marketplace of applicable laws, of course. Luckily, we've spoken to the experts and gotten their top tech tips on how to make sure an app is fully gone and that your personal information stays safe. Read on for the lowdown on app security and four things you need to do to protect your phone and data when deleting an app. How apps are putting your personal information at risk? Many of us regularly use a variety of apps throughout the day, implementing them automatically into our daily routines without giving them much thought. Without a doubt, they can make our lives easier and save quite a bit of time. But this convenience can have a downside. We use them to shop, bank, order dinner, get a ride, keep our house warm, and even keep track of our children, says Steve Chichernan, Chief Information Security Officer at Zipro, a cybersecurity analytics company. But our data needs to be shared with applications for them to provide value. In most cases, this means extremely sensitive information about us and our lives. Although we share our data with a hope that the app's creator will keep it safe, that's not always the case. Many apps fail to use encryption or other security features, leaving our private information vulnerable to criminals and hackers. In fact, Chechernin adds, apps are on the top mode of attack in most data breaches, according to the 2023 version of Verizon's Data Breach Investigation Report. What type of information is at risk? It turns out, your data doesn't magically disappear when you delete an app. Apps are often part of an intricate web of interconnected tools, products, and sites that track and share your information, likely without you even realizing it. Think about a dating app, for example, says Chichernan. Typically, these are linked together through a Facebook account, with your permission, that enables the app to access pictures, friends lists, and other information about yourself available through your Facebook profile. Chichernan cautions app users not to assume that their private information will be protected. Most applications are horribly insecure, and developers do not follow security best practices when developing an application, he explains. Applications are designed for functionality, not security. Security is difficult and time-consuming, often adding delays to product launch and revenue-generating activities. Are some apps worse than others? Certain apps are especially troublesome. Experts recommend immediately deleting these apps that security experts would never have on their phone, or better yet, not installing them in the first place. You should be very wary of any app that requires access to your photos, files, camera, microphone, and more, totally or in combination, says Vixemar. You have to ask yourself, does this app really need all of this access, or do I really need this app, before hitting the download button? Watch for those signs that you shouldn't trust an app. How to delete apps the right way. There are multiple steps involved in making sure that an app is fully disconnected from your phone and other accounts. James E. Lee, Chief Operating Officer at the Identity Theft Resource Center, recommends following this process before deleting an app. First, try and delete all your data on the app. While the instructions for erasing data will be different for each app, and they'll make it as difficult as possible, you might be able to find an option for deleting stored data under menu titles such as Privacy, Account Settings, or Security, Lee says. From there, follow the prompts to remove account data or stored history on the app. If you can't find this function, search in the help pages or contact customer service and demand in writing that they delete all your data. You should also log into your account through a web browser if possible. Sometimes you'll find additional settings available through the desktop version of the app. Mobile apps are often skinny versions of a full-featured application you use on the web or on your desktop, Lee explains. So it's a good idea to log into the app through a web browser to make sure you did not miss any additional settings that may not be available in mobile versions of the app. Unlink or revoke any Facebook and Google integrations you may have enabled by going to the app's Settings tab, finding the Linked Accounts option, and removing the app or link you want to delete. You can also remove integrations through the linked account. For Facebook, click on your profile picture and then select Security and Privacy, and then Settings. Scroll down to Your Activity, click Apps and Websites. Here you'll see all the accounts that you've linked with your Facebook login. Click Remove next to each app you wish to unlink. You'll need to select the right-facing arrow first on the mobile. For Google, sign into your Google account and navigate to the third-party apps and services page. Click the right-facing arrow next to the account you want to disconnect. Select Delete All Connections at the bottom. Now you're ready for deleting the app. On an iPhone, touch and hold the app on your home screen until a pop-up menu appears. Select Remove App from the drop-down menu. Select Remove App from Home Screen to keep it in your app library, or Delete App to remove it completely from your phone. On an Android, open the Google Play Store app. Click on the profile icon in the top right. Tap Manage Apps and Devices, and then Manage. Select the app you want to delete, and click Uninstall. About the experts, Gene Vixemar, CISSP, is the Associate Director of Security Risk Management at Verizon. A security professional with a background in engineering, he has been working in the telecommunications and information technology industries for more than two decades, previously with IBM and AT&T. Steve Chetrichin, CISP, PCIISA, PCIP, is the Chief Product Officer and Chief Information Security Officer for Kypro Technology. Steve is on the Forbes Technology Council, the Nonstop Under 40 Executive Board, and is part of the ANSI X9 Security Standards Committee. Steve regularly presents on cybersecurity topics at conferences around the world. James F. Lee is the Chief Operating Officer at Identity Theft Resource Center, the USA's leading organization that assesses victims of identity crimes and compromises. James advises public policy and business leaders on identity trends and issues and helps organizations improve their compliance, customer relationships, and brand in relation to user privacy. And our author, Brooke Nelson Alexander, is a two-time Emmy-nominated tech and consumer products reporter with nearly 10 years of experience, covering the latest in digital trends, product reviews, cybersecurity and privacy, along with other news and features. Her work has been published by U.S. News & World Report and recognized by the Columbia Scholastic Press Association. From early snowy images on small screens, television has evolved to high-definition, photo-like quality pictures. An upcoming standard known as next-gen TV has started its rollout. Our next article from Consumer Reports describes what to look forward to and what equipment will be needed. Consumer Reports: Next-gen TV is finally bringing better picture and sound to antenna users. By James K. Wilcox, Senior Home and Tech Editor, September 27, 2024. One of the great things about this past Summer Olympics coverage, apart from the compelling competition and the U.S. team's gold medal tally, was that NBC offered 24/7 coverage of the events in high dynamic range, or HDR, enabling brighter, more vibrant images with greater contrast and richer colors. We've been able to watch movies and programs in HDR via streaming services for a number of years now. But this year, for the first time, you could get the Olympics in HDR even if you were using an antenna. And that was just the start of big changes coming to over-the-air TV, thanks to a new over-the-air standard. It's technically called ATSC 3.0, but the industry is marketing it as next-gen TV. The new technology has been promised for years. I wrote about next-gen TV in 2017, but it's finally gathering steam. The technology can deliver brighter, sharper pictures, improved sound, and enhanced emergency notifications. It also allows for two-way interactivity, enabling features such as video on demand, the ability to pause or go back to the beginning of shows, and hyper-local content such as local sports and weather reports. Eventually, you may be able to get to broadcast with these high features on smartphones, tablets, or even in vehicles without using Wi-Fi or cellular data. The devices would just need to have ATSC 3.0 antennas built in. According to Pearl TV, a consortium of the eight largest broadcast TV organizations in the U.S., next-gen TV broadcasts are now available in about 75% of the country, including most major markets, reaching approximately 73 million households. But you can't start getting these next-gen TV signals on just any TV, even one you're currently using with an antenna. To receive these new signals, you need a 4K TV with a built-in ATSC 3.0 tuner or an external tuner that can receive and decode the signals. So here's everything you need to know about next-gen TV. Why is there a new over-the-air standard? When the current over-the-air broadcast standard, technically called ATSC 1.0, was developed more than two decades ago, few envisioned a world where higher-than-high-def TV signals would become commonplace and people would expect to get the same content on smartphones and tablets that they do on a TV at home. ATSC 3.0 is designed to bring over-the-air TV broadcasts up to date. It was developed by the Advanced Television Systems Committee, or ATSC, the same international group that broadcasters, TV manufacturers, and other tech companies that established the HDTV technical standards in force today. We'll get into the specifics below, but in general, next-gen TV is a more advanced, secure way of broadcasting. The idea is for you to get improved image quality and better sound, while broadcasters get better flexibility in how they allocate their available bandwidth, to improve reception, provide higher quality audio and video, and/or offer more channels. How is next-gen TV different? There are a few big differences between our current ATSC 1.0 broadcasts and the new ones that are part of ATSC 3.0. One key element is that the new standard uses the Internet Protocol, or IP, so next-gen TV signals can carry Internet content alongside traditional TV broadcasts. This will allow for some interactive features, such as video on demand, pausing or restarting shows, or even TV plans that combine live over-the-air channels with streaming services. Because broadcasters can multicast several video options over a single channel, you might be able to choose different camera angles during a live concert or sporting event. The broadcast for the 2024 Summer Olympics were a great showcase for NextGen TV, as they were in Dolby Vision HDR. Some of these features have started to roll out. Several NBC-owned stations will now let you pause and restart NBC shows and Telemundo programs in real time, and get localized news and weather pop-ups on your TV screen. However, most of the next-gen TV broadcasts you'll see are basically what was already being set on ATSC 1.0. We're still in the early stages of the next-gen TV rollout. NextGen TV is also capable of delivering 4K TV shows and movies with the HDR content, the two biggest selling points of TVs right now. It supports a wider gamut of colors as well as a higher frame rate, up to 120 frames per second. That can help make fast-moving programming, such as sports, appear smoother with less blurring. Right now, however, programs like the Olympics are being shown in 1080 HD with HDR, not in 4K. That's because broadcasters have limited capacity and 4K signals take up a lot of bandwidth. We couldn't launch every single feature on day one, so we focused on a few key things that we believe the consumer really cares about. And HDR was one of those features, and Shell, Managing Director of Pearl TV, says. HDR doesn't take up a lot of bandwidth, so launching it with 1080p and HDR worked better for broadcast TV. NextGen TV can also provide better audio, including support for 7.1 4-channel Dolby Atmos immersive audio. It can include a dialogue enhancement technology called Voice Plus to help TV viewers hear on-screen conversations better, while a real-time loudness leveler can help keep the volume levels of ads consistent with TV programs. NextGen TV will also help broadcasters in a few ways. One example is that in markets that currently have limited over-the-air capacity for ATSC 3.0 broadcasts, the broadcasters can transmit additional channels using over-the-air internet technology. That happened last year in Miami, when there wasn't room for PBS's over-the-air broadcasts. Instead, that channel is being delivered via the IP portion of the signal and integrated into the viewer's program guide, just like every other available channel. It also means that local stations can offer enhanced programming, such as hyper-localized news, sports, and weather based on your zip code, video on demand, and broadcasts of live events, including pay-per-view. Viewers could have the option to shop while watching programs or movies, or see targeted ads geared toward their specific interests. Will everything still be free? The short answer is yes and no. Over-the-air broadcasts always have been free. Buy an antenna and you're done. And antenna users will continue to enjoy major broadcast networks free of charge. ATSC 3.0 is built on a foundation of free over-the-air TV, a key element of every broadcaster's mission to serve their communities, ATSC President Madeline Nolan tells Consumer Reports. But the standard also provides an avenue for future subscription or pay-per-view options for special programming. For example, broadcasters could offer premium content or live pay-per-view events for a subscription fee. They could charge extra for 4K video, like some streaming services, including Netflix. Right now, these are only capabilities. No broadcaster has yet rolled out premium offerings like those, even on a trial basis. Consumer Reports and other groups say that they will insist that consumers continue to have access to free over-the-air high-definition TV reception. That's part of an overall push to ensure that the Federal Communications Commission holds broadcasters to the same public interest obligations with ATSC 3.0 broadcasts that they had with ATSC 1.0. Where is next-gen TV available? After a somewhat sluggish start, which was delayed due to the COVID-19 epidemic, next-gen TV is now available in most major markets in the U.S. You can see the cities where next-gen TV is currently available, plus those markets where it's coming soon, on the next-gen TV website. You can also plug in your address and see the channels you can expect to get using an indoor or outdoor antenna. Do you need a new TV to watch next-gen TV? To receive next-gen TV signals, you'll need a TV with an ATSC 3.0 tuner. These tuners are built into some TVs from brands such as Hisense, LG, Samsung, Sony, and TCL. More than 100 models now include the next-gen TV tuner, but many less expensive sets, and while smaller sets, still lack one. In addition, LG has stopped including ATSC tuners in its new TVs due to a patent dispute. Many slightly older LG TVs do have an ATSC tuner. If you don't have a TV with an ATSC tuner, you can buy an adapter, essentially an external tuner, to use with your current TV. Prices range from about $90 to $200 or more for some models that come with a built-in DVR, but we expect that they'll drop in price as more models hit the market. Will you need a new antenna? Simply put, no. While we expect some companies to market their antennas as 4K or next-gen models, the good news is you don't need a special antenna. Any TV antenna that does a decent job of receiving over-the-air signals will be able to receive next-gen TV signals. We were able to pull in all the available next-gen TV signals in our area using several different models. Do you need an internet connection? While next-gen TV is billed as the convergence of TV and the internet, you don't have to have an internet connection to receive over-the-air next-gen TV signals. Many next-gen TV stations are encrypting their signals. They argue it's needed to protect against privacy, not to limit viewing and recording. But all next-gen TVs should be able to decrypt these signals without the set being connected to the internet. However, some external ATSC 3.0 tuners require a connection for security and/or program guide data, so check before buying if your home doesn't have internet access. Well, when will ATSC 1.0 broadcast send? There's no firm timetable. The FCC and the National Association of Broadcasters have formed a Future of TV initiative to help manage the transition from ATSC 1.0 to 3.0, which includes the sunsetting of 1.0 broadcasts. The FCC has also instituted a substantially similar rule to protect consumers. It basically requires that whatever is transmitted on ATSC 3.0 be substantially similar to what's available on ATSC 1.0. That means people using the older technology won't see their choices or the quality of their broadcast degrade. Though, of course, options like pay-per-view movies won't be available if you're using the older equipment. That rule will remain in place through 2027, but ATSC broadcasts will continue beyond that date. One question is whether the government will offer a program for consumers to help cover the cost of a converter box or adapters, much as it did back in 2009 when TV broadcasts all went digital. But if you're currently receiving ATSC 1.0 broadcasts, you should have several more years to enjoy them before you're forced to make the jump to next-gen TV. And by then, it's possible that the majority of all new TVs will come with an ATSC 3.0 tuner. About the author, Consumer Reports Senior Electronics Editor, James K. Wilcox. James K. Wilcox leads Consumer Reports coverage of TVs, streaming media services and devices, broadband internet service, and the digital divide. He's also a homeowner, covering several home improvement categories, including power washers and decking. A veteran journalist, Wilcox has written for Business Week, Cargo, Maxim, Men's Journal, Popular Science, Rolling Stone, Sound and Vision, and others. And at home, he's often bent over his workshop building guitars or cranking out music on his 7.2 channel home theater surround system. A reader's note. The preceding article was written in September 2024, following the Summer Olympics. In the interim period, the number of television stations broadcasting next-gen TV has grown. According to www.watchnextgentv.com, the Tucson area now has six stations, including major networks and PBS, that are currently broadcasting using NextGen. And the Phoenix area has 10 stations, including the major networks, independent stations, and PBS, that are providing next-gen broadcasts. Information on stations broadcasting next-gen TV in your area can be found at https://www.watchnextgentv.com/markets/search. Well, that's about all the time that we have for today. This has been Bob Decker, a volunteer reader at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for listening. A reminder that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand. You can also take Sun Sounds with you on our stream, on demand, or in the Sun Sounds app on your smartphone or a home device.